Chapter 6, would you look there with me this morning? This is, I know, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the New Testament, but it's also one of the most important ones when it comes to our spiritual survival and our spiritual victory. Amen. It's the will of God that we be walking in the victory that has been provided for us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we're going to read here, if you'll follow along with me. This is Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I've noticed recently, I've been a coffee drinker since I was about 11 years old. And I remember my grandfather had died, and different ones of us grandkids would stay with my grandmother because she was afraid to stay by herself. And so I remember that probably the first morning that I stayed with her, that when she fixed breakfast, she always fixed a big breakfast, and she prepared the food. And then she poured me a cup of coffee. And I was 11 years old, and I said, "I don't drink coffee." And she said, "Yes, you do." And she said, "It's better for you than that old pop, Pepsi." Now, in Oklahoma, they call it pop. And I don't know what we call it here, because I don't drink a whole lot. Is it called pop here? In St. Louis, it's called soda. And in different parts, some parts of the country, everything is Coke. It doesn't matter what brand it is. It's just Coke. But she said, "It's better for you than that old pop." And so she poured me a cup of coffee. And that's been all these years that I start my day with coffee. And I never thought that coffee would become such a trend. It's now just not, it's not just a drink now. It's kind of a trendy thing that everybody has these nice cups of coffee. But the ones that most people drink today, it's not really coffee. It's just not. And they claim to be coffee drinkers, but it's not coffee. It's sweet and milky and like a milkshake, or like something that doesn't even resemble coffee. So for those of us that are true coffee drinkers, you know what I'm talking about. I went through all that just to say that it's hard for people to start their day if they're really regular coffee drinkers. Starting your day usually has to do with a little sip of coffee. And I got to thinking about how important and how changed the church would be if we became even as serious about prayer as we are about our morning coffee. What if we were just that dependent upon God that we knew, if I don't get my time with the Lord, I can't make it through my day. If I don't pray, I'm going to have a headache. If I pray, I'm just not going to have the strength of the inner. I'm not going to have my start for the day like I need to have. Well, that's the way it ought to be for every one of us. Now, this morning we're talking about standing strong. Standing strong. I won't get into, maybe tonight I might, but I'm not going to get into all the different aspects of the armor. But I just want, I want you to notice a few things about this text. And I know you've read this and probably have, I'm not going to give you anything that you don't know. Notice the continual references to being strong enough to stand. Strong enough to stand. That you are to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles or the scheming plans of the enemy to destroy you. You can stand against those. And then in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's the day we live in right now, isn't it? These are evil days. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 14 says, stand. So there's this continual reference to the importance of what it means for a Christian to stand. Now, the whole book of Ephesians, of course, is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's really giving to them instructions in how to live your Christian life, how to live it out. It's one thing to make a profession of faith and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's a whole another thing to live it out every day, to live out your Christian life every day. And that's really the instruction of Ephesians from the Apostle Paul, is how to live that out. And so he couldn't exclude the part about the fact that as a Christian, you experience spiritual battles, and we all do. And you may not be interested in talking about the militant aspect of the Christian experience. We know that we don't wrestle in flesh and blood, but only in the spirit. So I'm not really much of one to march down the streets with banners and signs, but I do know that there's a battle that's not fleshly, it's not physical. There's a battle that we need to win, and the only way we can win it, if we're standing strong in the Lord and the power of His might. All through Ephesians, he uses the theme walking worthy, that we're to walk in such a way, we're to live out this Christian experience in victory. We're to enjoy the victory that has been provided for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not fighting for the victory, we are to claim the victory that's already been won for us. We're to possess it, just like He told Joshua and the children of Israel, I've already promised you this land, it's already yours, I've given it to you, your name is on it, but you are going to have to march in and possess it. You're going to have to walk in to the promised land and take hold of the things that God has provided. Now, He provides here in Ephesians chapter 6 this image of this soldier. And Paul was very good at grasping the attention of his listeners. Because you see, a soldier, in particular a Roman soldier, was a common sight in all of Palestine because they were occupied by the Romans. And so tens of thousands of these Roman soldiers were everywhere. And so for him to give the illustration that he gives here concerning warfare and a battle and the armor of God that we were to put on, everywhere they went, they could see the imagery of that right before their eyes. They knew what he was talking about. They understood what he was saying and what he was talking about. And that's really all through the scripture. It's not just the Apostle Paul, but even Jesus himself. His first mention of the New Testament church, the first mention of the church by Jesus himself was to tell his disciples that I'm going to build this church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was a common practice for an army to go in to take a city and to take battering rams and beat down the gates of the city so they could gain access to the city and plunder it and destroy their enemy. And so this is not something that, you know, we're on the offensive or the defensive. This is the church marching. This is the church walking forward and taking possession of all that God has promised us. The gates of hell cannot be stopped by the advancing army of the church. The gates of hell can't stop what God is wanting to do. Now, the enemy will fight you. He fights every one of us. As a matter of fact, as soon as you become a Christian, the Bible says that you become a prey of the enemy. You get in his sights. As soon as you become a Christian, the enemy would love to knock you out. And if you just attempt to do something for God, and you'll find yourself under the attack of the enemy. He'll attack everything. He'll attack your prayer times. He'll attack every effort that you make to pursue God and to grow in God and to move forward in the knowledge of the Lord. Everything you try to do for God, the enemy is going to be doing his best to attack you and to destroy you. And the reason he does that is that it's really not just you that he's targeting, but Satan. If there's anything that you know about him, is that he hates God and he hates the plan of God and anything that God wants to do. And the plan of God is to advance his work, the work of the kingdom through his church, through his people, and you're a target because Satan wants to destroy what God is building, what God is doing in your life. So any effort that you make, any steps that you make toward God, some of you maybe have set aside early times in recent weeks to start your day calling upon the Lord. If so, that will be under an attack. You will be under an attack. If you've been trying to seek the Lord every day, to call upon the Lord every day, then you will be under an attack of the enemy. Amen. Anything you attempt to do for God, you will find yourself. It was last year in January when we went to Africa. It was one of the most intense times that I've ever experienced in all of my Christian experience. It was like that we were being hit from the front and the back and from every direction. Satan was attacking us. We were going into a Muslim country, into a Muslim city of 2.5 million people to build a Christian radio station. And so what was really happening is we were invading Satan's territory. It was controlled by Islam. Somehow, miraculously, they were able to get permits to open up this radio station, and we were fought from every direction. I personally was very, very sick, and a lot of complications, a lot of problems just getting there to Africa. Once we're there, then there's all kinds of difficulties. The power always is unstable there, goes off and on. But while we were there, it was the worst. Brother Bakri said, well, it's not been like this in a long time. The power would go off and stay off and stay off. And so not only were we working on these studios and this station, but we were doing it in the heat, and we were doing it without the lighting that we need, and we were using generators that weren't sufficient, and it was just a big mess every day trying to get this done. I remember talking, sending some messages back home about, please pray for us. Please pray for us. Because equipment is failing. As soon as we got the station up and on the air, it was just a matter of hours, and equipment burnt up. And you don't just go across town and buy it in Freetown. You just don't do that. So many problems, almost to the point of giving up, not knowing what to do. But I know there were people here in the States and their church as well in Africa. They were praying and they were calling upon the Lord, asking God to give us a victory, because Satan was fighting, because he didn't want us to invade that Islamic city, and he didn't want us to invade the air, which he wants to control. He's the prince and the power of the air. He wants to control that too. And so we were invading Satan's territory. And so we became the target. And he fought us. And he will fight you. And everything you attempt to do for God, if you attempt to do your dedication to God in a much greater level, you're going to find yourself under the attack of the enemy. Years ago, we used to sing a song. I don't remember it all. I just remember the phrase that says, "It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room." And that's the truth. We are called to fight. The scripture says that we are to fight the good fight. That is the fight in the spirit, and it's a fight that can only result in victory whenever it is a battle that is won through prayer. How do you stand strong? Well, you do it by depending upon God in prayer, by calling upon the Lord. You'll notice in Ephesians here, this reminder to us of how we are to walk. First of all, it says we're to walk worthy, which just means honorably or in a way that would represent Jesus Christ and the church. We're to live it out every day of our life. That's what it means to walk worthy. And then he said, you're not to walk as the Gentiles do. We're to live in a way that's distinct and different from those who are not serving the Lord or don't know the Lord. We're to have a testimony that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're not to walk as the Gentiles walk. And then he says, we're to walk in love. Walk in love. Really, basically, we are to love God and we are to love people. That has to be the driving force in everything that we do, that we love God and we love people. And that motivates us to live out the way that God wants us to live. So we're to walk in love as well. And then in chapter 5 and verse 8, he says to walk in the light. And we know truth. The word of God is truth, and the word of God is the light. You have to walk in the light of truth. And don't depend upon anything else, but put your confidence in the word of God. And one more thing is we're to walk circumspectly. Circumspectly, it means carefully, looking around, looking in every direction. We're to live a life that's cautious and careful, that we're not easily deceived or taken in by the tactics and the lies of the enemy. That's how we're to walk. That's the counsel that the Apostle Paul gave. And if you'll walk this way and depend upon the Lord, then the Lord can help you to be strong. He can help you to be strong. I have mentioned this recently, that we are in our prayer that we're asking the Lord to do something in our community, in our county, that is far-reaching and that sweeps across this community, that people in this county, in this community, will know God is doing something. There is really a God that is at work, and he is moving. And that can happen whenever we unite together and we begin to pray together. Now, the text here says that we are to this is the last verse that we read, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, that is a verse that's packed full of advice and counsel for us when it comes to the church and to prayer. Amen. Prayer can make a difference. Amen. Don't ever think that what you're doing. A few times that we've been around here early in the last few weeks, there's been two, three, maybe four that have been here praying. And I've prayed that scripture. Lord, you said if there's just two, or three, Lord, that you can move mightily. It's just a few. Lord, that you can take that few and you can do some mighty, wonderful things. What would happen if we have such a group of people in our community that begin to call upon the Lord? Let me tell you, it will be an unstoppable force. if people will pray and call upon the name of the Lord, and we will be able to stand strong. There has been, I believe that because of the lack of prayer or the weakness in our prayer in this community, then the enemy has been able to destroy lives. And you read the news every week and you hear of great tragedies happening in people's lives. Most horrible tragedies that are striking in the lives of people. It's unimaginable. But the enemy, it seems like, has a free run and does what he wants to do until some people begin to take it to heart and begin to say, hey, wait a minute, we got to pray about this. We're going to have to seek God. We're going to have to fast. We're going to have to stand strong in the midst of all that Satan is attempting to do. We're going to have to be strong against the enemy. We're strong whenever we begin to depend on God instead of ourselves. Never, ever think that we can just be activists and that is going to make a difference. It's not. And we might have 100 or 200 or 500 people at the jail this week to surround it in prayer, and I hope that we do. But I want you to know that it's not just as we're activists, we're just involved in this effort, that's what's going to make the difference. It's only going to be if everyone that comes will be sincere and honest, and they'll really, truly call upon the Lord. And God can move, and he will move. Every time that the children of Israel believed, they would backslide and begin to think that they could make it on their own and go their own way, then the Lord would allow some invading army, the Midianites or the Amalekites or different other groups of nations that would sweep in and would come up against them. And then they would finally call upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord would come and would rescue them. If only they would have learned the lesson instead of going right back into the same complacency and the same attitude, oh, we can make it, and they would forget God, and they had been warned, you're going to get down there in the promised land, and you're going to eat from vineyards that you didn't plant, and you're going to partake of all these things and live in houses that you didn't build, and you're going to forget God. You're not going to need God anymore. And that's where we are, I believe, for the most part in this country. People can live out their lives but do not seem to need God. But we do need him. We desperately need him. And so let's call upon the Lord like we really mean it, like we really know how much that we need the Lord. They would cry out to God and God would deliver them. And finally, they would learn their lesson. Oh, God, help us to learn the lesson that we cannot make it when we erase God from the picture, when we remove God from our lives, from our community, from our churches. We can't make it. We just cannot. Amen. Now, we also need to be reminded, I don't believe in giving Satan credit. I think that all we should do is just read what the Bible has to say about it. The Bible says that he is a strong enemy. The Bible says he's represented as a lion. He's represented as a dragon. We know that he's powerful, that in one day that he's destroyed Job's health, all of his possessions, all of his family. Everything is taken away from him, and he once was the richest, most well-known and powerful man, and the next day he is nothing. He is nothing. And Satan did that. Satan brought that destruction. And so I'm not saying anything about Satan that you don't know, that the Bible doesn't say. But we know that he's a liar. We know he's a deceiver. We know he's crafty. The wiles of the devil. We also know he is an angel of light. And so it's easy to be taken in by the deception of the enemy. And you are not able to face up to the challenges of this enemy. The only way that we can stand strong in the face of such an enemy is if we do what verse 18 tells us to do. It tells us to pray. Amen. To call upon the Lord. To call upon the Lord. It says, first of all, Pray always. It just means always be in that spirit of prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Apostle Paul said. Always be ready to call upon the Lord wherever you are, on your job, in a place of business, or wherever you might be. Always be ready to pray. Always be ready to call upon the Lord, praying always. And then it says all prayer, which just means every type of prayer. Praise is prayer. Petition is prayer. Intercession is prayer. All kinds of prayer. And prayer is always appropriate to call upon the Lord in every situation. So pray always. And then use every means of prayer, to pray and to fast, to pray and to call upon the Lord. And the third thing in this verse is pray in the Spirit. Understand that physically, that you naturally don't have the ability to pray as powerfully as you need to. That's why you need the Spirit of God, to be able to pray in the Spirit, with the power of the Spirit, to pray an anointed prayer, and to see God move. The Spirit of God was sent into the world for a lot of reasons, but He's also your comforter, your helper, your the one that's your advocate, who comes to help you in your time of need, to pray with you, to pray through you in the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. So praying always, all prayer, praying in the Spirit. Then it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. We are to pray watchful, with our eyes wide open, pray aware of what's going on in our lives and around us, with your eyes open to see that, yes, you've got a problem, you have a need, you have a situation, but pray that God can help you to see the real root of what's going on, that it's that the enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy is behind these attacks in your life. Be watchful. Be always aware of what's going on around you. Then also praying with perseverance. This one verse is packed full of prayer advice. Praying, persevering, never stopping, never giving up. Just keep on, keep on, keep on praying. Is that prayer of perseverance a prayer that lacks faith? Not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's the greatest demonstration of faith. It means I have locked on to the promise of God, and I'm not going to let go. I'm going to trust God no matter what. I'm going to go to my grave trusting God. I'm going to persevere in prayer and keep on asking the Lord. Then the last thing there in that verse is, and with all supplication for all saints. We mentioned this Wednesday night, the people of God. When you're in need, where do you take your need? Sure, you take it to the Lord, but you take your need to people that you know how to pray. Amen? Know how to pray. I've seen people before who, you know, they think that we're a little bit, you know, too strict and a little bit too, old-fashioned and in our ways. But then I've had this numbers of time, people that had that kind of an attitude toward me or toward us, and they would call me when they were in a crisis and say, would you all pray for us? We want to ask your church to pray. And I knew that they thought that we were pretty well out on the deep end as far as where we stood and what our positions were biblically. But when they got in need, they wanted somebody that knew how to touch God. And I tell you, that's who I call on. If I'm in need, I call people that I know that they pray and they know how to touch God. Amen. So you go to the people of God. Go to the church. And that's what the Apostle Paul did in that verse. He says, and for me. He said, all the saints, and for me too. Would you pray for me? That's the Apostle Paul saying this. Would you pray for me and me, that the utterance may be given unto me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He said, pray for me, that God would give me to the words to say, and so that I can preach the gospel in such a way that it can be understood and that it will be convincing and it will touch the lives of people. Pray for me. Amen. That's who I want to pray for me, the people of God who know how to get together. We can be strong, and we need to be. In these last days, we need to be stronger than we've ever been. This is not a time to relax. This is not a time to get carefree in your walk with the Lord. This is time to press in. This is time to really dig into the things of God. Make some commitments to God. Be faithful to the things of God and be used of the Lord and stand strong. Hallelujah. No matter what. And know the power of prayer. I was reading about a missionary in Africa who had to travel for 2 days to get supplies. And he would have to do this often, maybe once a month or so. And he would have to walk. And it would take him 2 days, so he'd have to sleep in the jungle. And he did it all the time, but on this one particular night, there was some men that were there, and he saw them, and he was a little concerned that they may be wanting to rob him. But he went ahead and made his camp and went to sleep, and the next morning they were gone. Months later, he's back at his home church in Michigan, and he's there to minister, and one of the men in the church said, you know, one day, and he gave the date, one day we were around the church working and doing some things around the church building, and I felt really concerned to pray for you. He said, this was in the morning hours, which would have been at the late night hour there in Africa. And he said, I called some other men to come. And so we gathered into the church and we spent a while praying for you. And he said, I just want all of the men that were here that day to stand. And they stood up, and there were 26 men that day. And the missionary was so shocked because there were some men that had come to him later and said, you know, we were going to rob you. And when we got up close to your camp, you had guards all around your campsite. He says, as a matter of fact, you had 26 guards around you. And that missionary was so astonished when he learned that there were 26 people in the States that were praying for him at that very hour and that God had protected him. What can happen when the church takes a stand and begins to pray? Calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And believing God to change lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, because I know that you care about your people. I know that you care about this local church. And I know it's your desire to send revival, Lord, to our church, to our families, to each one of us individually. And Lord, it's your will to send revival right here to London and Laurel County in this region. And we pray, Lord, that you would pour your spirit out upon us. Lord, even this very day, how we really need your strength. We need your touch, your power at work in our lives today. Would you move, Lord, in this service? Would you touch lives? Would you meet needs? We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you. Praise God. Praise the Lord.